Gopi jana bhala bhangiri baradhari. Yashoda nandana bhaja jana vanchana. Yashoda nandana bhaja jana vanchana. Yamuna tira bandha chavi. Yamuna tira bandha chavi. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Bada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Vanchana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Vanchana. Yamuna Tira Bandha Chari. Yamuna Tira Bandha Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivakacharya Astotar Sata Shishi Madh His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So I'd like to thank you all for being here on such a wet day. And just in case there's still anybody in the room, when Mukhya asked, is anybody here for the first time? She forgot to add the part about, if you are, you can go to the book room and they'll give you a free book. So if you see any of those people, let them know. Okay, good. So now they know. Okay. Oh, awesome. Yes, the person that came from Jacksonville. Very cool. Okay. So nowadays they make you come up with a title ahead of the giving of the class. So Mukhya said, oh, the ocean of miseries or the ocean of bliss, it's your choice. Great title. Well, that's nice. But I didn't really prepare. I just had to come up with a title ahead of time. However, I was at the ocean this morning at the junction, what do they call the shoreline, and also yesterday, and I was among the people that were participating in a small way in the Ratha Yatra Festival, and I felt as if I were floating in an ocean of bliss, because all these people, thanks Prabhu, all these people that were just coming to the beach, I was like in the very front part. It said information, and I could just say, see that sign over there where it says free feast? And I would tell them what time the feast would be served. And then see that cart there, because Jagannath's cart was being decorated. It was in the street very near where we were. And I said, after you have the feast, then you can... go, if you're on the beach, they're going to be pulling that cart down the beach. And people were like, really? And I'm, yeah. And they're going to need help because it's pulled with ropes. And so it was really great. There were a couple different groups of like strong young men showing off their muscles. And I was telling, yes, you know, we really need your help, but first go and get some food so that you'll be strong enough. And there was prasadam, nice, wonderful prasadam. And, all day long, the people were just so, so sweet. And there was one woman who actually asked me, what is the significance? So, I mean, I was happy to just get people going, but then I had to tell her, well, the significance, as I understand it, is we're inviting the Lord, we're pulling him back into our heart. I've heard that as one of the many, but for newcomers, it's very good. She liked it. And we actually had a very nice discussion about spiritual truths and monotheism, because most Westerners, if they think of Hinduism, they think many gods. And of course, the Judeo-Christian tradition is monotheistic. So that was the beginning point. No, we're also monotheistic, but I explained how, just like if a king or a president is the in charge of a nation, he has many subordinate people in charge of different departments. So those are the demigods. And you people can understand that. They don't have a problem with it. I said, but it was one person. But with her, I was able to tell her just a little bit that, like when the judge goes home from work, his wife doesn't call him Your Honor. And so I said, even though Krishna is certainly, he's the Supreme Lord, he's in charge of everything here, that's true, but he has his own realm where people are relating to him in a more intimate way. So I was happy that she left curious. And this, Padra had given me these leaflets about the Festival of Chariots, and I managed to pass them all out. And also, in the corner, there's this small trifold thing, which I like because it has the Maha Mantra on it twice, and it has two websites. So as I'd give it to someone, I'd say, keep it, because it has two websites, and you can look things up on your own time, in your own home. So krishna.com and alachuatemple.com are both then accessed from this little piece of paper that fits in a person's pocket. I did find, I was thinking actually when she asked me for a title, I was thinking of one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Krishna says, I have it as one of my quotes. Aha. It's from Third Canto, chapter 28, text 32. This is the verse. I'm just going to read the English. A yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari, a smile which, for all those who bow down to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. So my particular memory was of in the purport, Prabhupada says, the entire universe is full of miseries. And therefore, the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. There is a great ocean of water made from such tears. But for one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean of tears is at once dried up. So this was actually my inspiration for choosing the title, The Ocean of Misery, because we are all suffering various kinds of miseries as embodied beings, misidentifying with this temporary world. Does anybody offhand know the three kinds of material miseries and want to volunteer? Okay. Misery of the body and the mind. That's one, adiatmic, it's called. Adibhautik, which means other living entities like rivals in business or mosquitoes or in Florida ants, fire ants particularly. And scorpions. And adidaivik, yes. The demigods have caused this. Can be drought, which we experienced recently. 6 weeks of drought. It was very alarming. First time since I've lived here, 15 years, with always rains off and on, you know, every few days. But 6 weeks, no rain at all. It was quite alarming. So, yeah, famine, pestilence, these things are caused by the devatas, the demigods. And so those are three kinds of misery. So who can say they're not at one time or another suffering from this or that hurts, or my mind is disturbed, or the situation at work or home is causing me distress. We all know very well the material miseries. So that was one thing. And but because I was at the ocean, we were chanting. Yesterday, we went early, like around sunrise time. And it was very quiet and peaceful. The mode of goodness was prominent. There were other people chanting Hare Krishna on the beach because devotees had come the night before to get ready for Rath Yatra. And the water was there, so clear. The sky was so nice. But today, more people must come and stay overnight on a Saturday night because... And we went a little later. It wasn't real late, like 8:30 in the morning. Oh my goodness! There were tents set up. There were volleyball people. There were one after another. They're setting up. Somebody came and had a speaker this big and started blasting rock music at the beach. But so we were thinking the modes of nature are so influential and so prominent. So we're encouraged to try to reach for the mode of goodness, which normally, if you're in nature, by the ocean or in a forest, the mode of goodness is more prominent. But if there's loud rock music, it's more the mode of passion. And of course, laziness and ignorance are the tamagun. We want to raise ourselves from the lower modes and situate more in the mode of goodness. But Prabhupada said that living in a temple, spending time at the temple, that's transcendental. It's beyond the modes of material nature. So that you've all come to see their beautiful lordships. And to hear what Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father, what's the best thing you've learned in school? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. He's saying the nine processes of devotional service. He did not appreciate what his teachers, who were demoniac, were trying to teach him how to divide and conquer. And we see all over the world, all throughout human history, this is the policy. Somebody wants to take over a country, they go in and they... I remember Srila Prabhupada writing about how in India, before the British came, Hindus and Muslims were living very peacefully, side by side in his hometown of Kolkata. But then the British came and made propaganda so that Hindus would be afraid of the Muslims and vice versa, and then there were sometimes riots. So this is typical demoniac mentality. If we divide them and pit them against one another, then we can go in and take the whole thing. And we can all probably think of even modern examples, even closer to home. So this divide and conquer was not appreciated by Prahlad. He was being told, these are your friends, those are your enemies. And he was looking and seeing everywhere is a spirit soul. Everyone I'm seeing is a part and parcel of Krishna. So the other thing I thought of about the shoreline, here's one verse, which is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, just the English. The viraja, or causal ocean, is the border between the spiritual and material world. The material energy is situated on one shore of that ocean, and it cannot enter onto the other shore, which is the spiritual sky. So it's quite wonderful for us, inhabitants of the material world, that a transcendental resident of the spiritual sky came to enlighten us and teach us how we can go from here to there. So particularly, you know, as a Westerner growing up without any concept of the spiritual sky other than what Christian churches teach, there's heaven, but they don't have a clear concept like that. To be given such clear and explicit instruction, detailed information about the difference between matter and spirit, and how we can, although we're situated at the junction, we're in forms made out of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, but we're none of those things. We're the spirit soul inside. So as we chant Krishna's names, as we do some service, whether pulling the cart, decorating the deity, honoring the Lord's prasadam, hearing about Krishna, telling someone else about Krishna, all these processes are meant to gradually help us to stop misidentifying with the body and mind, the temporary material world, and help us to identify ourselves as we really are, which is eternal servants of Krishna, sparks of spirit, conscious living entities. And the only difference is that Krishna's consciousness is all-pervading. He is very, very great and infinite, And Prabhupada would say that we are infinitesimal. We are infinitesimal, tiny little sparks of the same substance, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But because we're at the shoreline, the conjunction of matter and spirit, we can go either way. And the tendency, as we're here, is to misidentify with the material world. So I'm just very extremely grateful that to have been given awareness and a path to cultivate the knowledge that will help us transcend on a daily basis and also be able to give it to others. I mean, that's, like I said yesterday, there's just all kinds of people. Mostly they were in their bathing suits, you know, heading for the beach. It's such an odd place for someone to encounter transcendence, but that's what I was doing, inviting them for prasadam, giving them Krishna's holy name, showing them the cart, saying, please pull it. And I heard from those who actually went on the beach on the parade, the kirtan, people joining in. It was extremely well attended and blissful. So I'm just going to stop and see if anybody has any questions or comments and go from there. Yes, Panchagoda Prabhu.
We often hear that we're not the body, we're spirit soul. You know, we're not the ego, we're not the body, we're the spirit soul.
Right.
How do we get a deeper realization of that? Because after hearing it, we're back on the bodily platform.
How do we get deeper realization?
Yeah, because, I mean, we talk about it, but still we're on the bodily platform. I mean, how do you get off that bodily platform and stay on the spiritual platform?
Well, I think one has to go to Vrindavan to really learn that.
See that?
Panchagoda is the temple president in Vrindavan. So, but also, all the temples are Vaikuntha outposts. So the things that take place within the temple, we can also manifest in our own homes, even just by keeping Prabhupada's books carefully. That makes the home a sacred place. Many or most of us also have some deities at home. We have some altar where we can offer the food so that whatever we eat becomes part of the process. And time in this world can seem long, but you remember in one Bhagavad Gita purport, after the lifetime of Lord Brahma is described, 1,000 ages taken together make Lord Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. So then in the purport, the math is given. Kali Yuga lasts, 432,000 years. The Dwarpa Yuga, the Treta Yuga, each one is longer than the other one. And when you add them all together, it's a fantastic number. And then Srila Prabhupada says, looking at these numbers, from our viewpoint, the lifetime of Brahma seems to go on forever. But from the point of view of eternity, it's as brief as a lightning flash. So we may be thinking, gee whiz, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 50 years and I still don't have pure love for God. I still identify with the body. It's like, well, hello, you know, how many millions of lifetimes have we been embodied? We don't know. We don't know what we were before. But we do know that we now have have access to the way out. Is that all right?
Good. Yes, chanting the holy name and association devotees and hearing Bhagavatam.
There you go. All right. And actually, I just remembered because the first quote that I found when I typed in ocean to the Vedabase was from the Bhagavad Gita, and it's from chapter 4, it's text 36. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. So situating ourselves in transcendental knowledge by regularly hearing and discussing the philosophy and the pastimes, because the pastimes also bring you to the philosophy. The purport from this begins, proper understanding of one's constitutional position in relationship to Krishna is so nice that it can at once lift one from the struggle for existence which goes on in the ocean of nescience. In the ocean, however expert a swimmer one may be, the struggle for existence is very severe. If someone comes forward and lifts the struggling swimmer from the ocean, he is the greatest savior. So, I'm also, you're probably familiar with the example Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada's spiritual teacher, used to give, that if somebody is drowning and another person goes into the water to save him and he comes out with the man's coat and goes, I did it, I saved him. Other people will think, what are you talking about? That's just his coat. So the same thing, this body made of earth, water, fire, air, and such, which is destined to fall off at some point anyway, that's not our real self. So saving the dress of a drowning man or saving only the body of a person is not how we really bring about their best interest, but to help situate them on the path of transcendental knowledge. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone's coming for those online.
Krishna.
Yes, it's on. It is on.
Krishna helps you. If you take one step towards him, he'll take 100 steps towards you. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that he made Brahma self-realized.
Huh.
Brahma was trying to chant Gayatri and realize, you know, Krishna or Super Soul. But he couldn't do it at the beginning.
Krishna gave him mercy.
Brahma.
Right, right.
And Lord Brahma is so qualified. He's the most qualified being in the universe.
Thank you.
But Krishna helped him. So
right,
we're
right.
We're like little babies.
Right. But because, as you began, we take one step towards him, and out of his kindness, he takes so many towards us to help us come. We cannot... I was just recently reading in the 11th canto at home, and a lot of discussion about how knowledge and renunciation are often seen as ways to achieve transcendence. But it was very clearly explained, knowledge is nice, renunciation can be helpful, but on their own, they can't reach transcendence. But bhakti, devotional service, will not only help you achieve transcendence, but it can help with your knowledge and your renunciation. They're like byproducts. So the simplest person offering incense, making flower garlands, doing some seva for their lordships, can become detached and knowledgeable. And like you said, Lord Brahma, we all need help from Krishna and from his devotees, his representatives. Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very nice class. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Although we know that we are not this body, we are soul, even though sometime interacting with other devotees, we come across certain situations where we end up disrespecting each other sometime, you know, maybe having, you know, not best possible relationship or, you know, or what you say, your behavior within ourselves. What should we do in that situation? Even though, you know, you're trying your best but sometime, you know, it's not working out. And then you end up feeling, oh, even though we know that we are not this body, we are soul, why we are in this situation, you know? And, you know, feel like, you know, even your jap is also, you know, not helping. What's going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That phrase, we know we are not this body. Well, we know that theoretically. And that's what Panchagoda Prabhu was asking. How do we get from knowing it theoretically? But this, I once read a dictionary definition of humility, and it said, humility means to have awareness of one's own shortcomings. So this situation you pointed out, even though I theoretically know I'm not this body, and I may even be dealing with another devotee who also theoretically knows they're not their body, still there's friction. That's because of false ego that we both still actually misidentify, trying to blame the other person, not seeing Krishna behind. But coming up short gives us an opportunity to practice humility, even with not just saying, oh, I'm your humble servant, but within ourselves, to Krishna in our heart, I'm so sorry, Lord. I thought I knew better, but I'm not actually realized in that yet. Please forgive me. I don't mean to offend. You can, and Krishna will help you. He'll see that sincerity of purpose. And it may take time. I mean, it probably will take time. Purification could happen in a moment. More likely, it will happen over many, many years. So every time we make some advancement, I remember one guru back in the 80s saying to a disciple, you do 10 things wrong and one thing right, and still you get puffed up. So this is our situation. You know, every time we do one thing right, we think, oh, yeah, I'm really making advancement. But we don't notice that we did 10 things wrong. We may not even realize the 9 people that we hurt or whatever, you know, the mistakes that we made. But when they're pointed out to us, then we have an opportunity to beg forgiveness and pray to do better. And those prayers will be, Krishna will reach out more when he sees that you sincerely want to improve. I hope that helps. Hare Krishna. Well, it's almost 6 o'clock. We don't, Mahesh, did you have, no. He wants to make a comment.
Yeah, the real thing, according to Srila Prabhupada, if you really want to realize Krishna consciousness, not just a make-believe, you do need the mercy of a spiritual master. You really cannot do it on your own. To actually really experience it, you do have to have that mercy. And that's the only way I know. That's what Prabhupada said, right? Number one is you have to surrender to the lotus feet of a spiritual master, render services unto him, and please your spiritual master with your service. Then from then on, then you can go into chanting and do all the other processes of devotional right. service. That's as far as I know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, okay. Here's one.
Hare Krishna, Mother.
Hare Krishna.
Just a small comment based off what you just said. This is something I'd recently read in Mahatma Prabhu's book, was many times when we are criticizing others, it is our own faults that we are seeing in them.
And
that can be a big game changer, because then you realize that you should not be doing that. Like every time you notice something else, a fault, try to find 5 good things in them. And then automatically the faults will reduce.
Nice.
The whole process of bhakti is to purify and to soften our hearts. But if we right. keep finding faults in others.
Right. Well, and that's especially a very good observation. The tendency is we recognize in someone else a fault because we have it ourselves. I think, I don't know if it's a Buddhist saying, but I've heard it. When you point your finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So it is. It's very good to be introspective and see what we can do to improve, not only what they could do to improve better ourselves. Okay? All right. Thank you very kindly. Please honor the Lord's prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Lecture. I'm so sorry. What is your name?
Oh, my name is Vegavati.
Vegavati.
Yes.
Vegavati.
Yes. Like Las Vegas, but Vegavati.
Vegavati.
Yeah. What's your good name?
Sundarangadas.
Sundarangadas.
Yes.
Sundarangadas.
Sundarangadas. Yes.
Like beautiful lambs.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
Not mine, but someone
no, but,
else.
Oh, you're the servant of Lord Chaitanya or yeah, somebody yeah. like that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Can you describe
I know it's Sundarananda, but Sundaranga was one of them.